Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear these words from Gregory of Nazianzus, or whatever. It's from about 380 A.D. Saint Gregory is his name. And this is from his Christmas sermon. Christ is born. Glorify him. Christ from heaven, go out to meet him. Christ on earth, be exalted. Sing to the Lord, all the whole earth, and that I may join both in one word. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad for him who is of heaven and then of earth, Christ in the flesh. Rejoice with trembling and with joy. With trembling because of your sins. With joy because of your hope. Augustine of Hippo, again from the 4th century, his Christmas sermon began like this. Awake, mankind, for your sake God has become man. Awake, you who sleep, rise up from the dead, and Christ will enlighten you. I tell you again, for your sake God became man. You would have suffered eternal death had not he been born in time. Never would you have been freed from sinful flesh had he not taken on himself the likeness of sinful flesh. You would have suffered everlasting unhappiness had it not been for his mercy. You would never have returned to life had he not shared your death. You would have been lost if he had not hastened to your aid. You would have perished had he not come. Let us then joyfully celebrate the coming of salvation and redemption. Let us celebrate the festive day on which he who is the great and eternal day came from the great an endless day of eternity into our own short day of time. Now, St. Ambrose, this whole period of Lent, these past four Sundays, on Sunday mornings, we've been singing a hymn written by St. Ambrose of Milan, O come, Redeemer of the earth. Hear those words again. O come, Redeemer of the earth, and manifest thy virgin birth. Let every age in wonder fall. Such birth befits God of all. Begotten of no human will, but of the Spirit thou art still. The Word of God in flesh arrayed, the promised fruit to man displayed. And then the last stanza, eternal Son to thee, whose advent sets thy people free. Three different men of the 4th century expressing the Christian faith. Here we are. Over 1,600 years later, that's 1,600 plus years later, we gather together expressing the same Christian faith. Time does not diminish the truth of our faith. But wouldn't it be fantastic to travel through time? Have you ever dreamed of that? Traveling through time? And to be an eyewitness of these events ourselves. Now, for years, I've listened to Adventures in Odyssey from Focus on the Family. Adventures in Odyssey is a family radio drama that shares the Christian faith. That's one of the things Heather and I had in common when we first met, was enjoying these radio dramas, because we both had been listening to them for years. And then we've introduced our children to them, Marissa and Aria. And we listen to them whenever they're on the air, and we have CDs of them, and the girls listen to them almost all the time. But the episodes I particularly enjoy are the ones with the Imagination Station. In the Imagination Station, the characters enter into the action of history. They are there. Experience the moment for themselves, jumping from scene to scene as they experience history. And then when they come out of their adventure in the Imagination Station, they are changed from being face to face with the people and the circumstances of history. So we're going to enter our own Imagination Station right now. How would you like to be in the inn in Bethlehem? The commotion. of a full house, bursting at its seams. Demands coming your way to find room for one more. Feed the animals. Place food on the table. Get blankets. There's no moment to rest when another knock comes to the door. Not another springs forth from your lips due to the exasperation of the moment. Even before the door is fully open, you begin to shout, "There's no more room!" Even before you see the young couple. With the door fully open, before you is a man holding a donkey and clutching his wife's hand to steady her on the back of the animal. Then you notice she's very, very ready to give birth. "I'm sorry. I just have no more room." And you close the door very slowly, and the young couple starts to leave. "Who was that?" your wife asks. "A young couple, and she's about to give birth." Without saying a word, your wife goes off after the young couple. She leads them to the stables, for out in the street is no place to give birth. "Would you like to be with the shepherds?" The night air's chill sneaks its way under your cloak and blankets. The fire is not able to keep you warm. The light is not much either. Can't fall asleep. Must keep watch over the sheep. Your head nods forward. "Can't fall asleep. Must keep watch over the sheep," you say yourself again. So you get up and you walk around, checking on your sheep. The noise, the smell, the cold chill hits your ears and your nose. And suddenly a shadow becomes very pronounced. And you turn to find what the source of light is. You see, well, you don't know what you see because you've never seen one before. And fear just grips you and you stand frozen. And then words are spoken. "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news and great joy for all the people. Right now, in the town of David, a Savior has been born. Messiah, Christ, Lord. Go, look for him. You will find him swaddled in a manger." Then the sky fills with many, many more. Sounds of music coming from everywhere just fills your ears. Great joy and great music just is filling the sky, praising God and speaking peace to men. What about Mary? Alone in her room one night. Prayers said, and just about to blow out the lamp and close her eyes for good night's sleep. Perhaps this night there'll be more sweet dreams of your fiancé, Joseph. Eyes closed and drifting off when suddenly you hear, "Greetings, highly favored of the Lord." Startled, you sit up. The Lord is with you. Fear grips your heart and the fear shows in your face. "Married, don't be afraid. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, the Son of the Most High, who will rule on David's throne, and his kingdom will be without end." "How will this be?" you utter pensively. "I am a virgin." The answer comes that the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Now, you're in a manger. Your ears are filled with groans coming from the contractions of childbirth. There is the innkeeper's wife. "Almost here. I see the crown of the baby's head. One more push. Come on. You can do it. Push now." Then the cry of baby fills your ears. It's a boy. A healthy baby boy. Praise the Lord. You have a son. And now you're back from your adventure. Now you're sitting in a pew here with a candle nearby you waiting to be lit as you sing Silent Like Night you've done for so many years before. Will the reality of God becoming man make a difference in your life? Will Emmanuel, God with us, be factual history for you? Will the good news touch your heart and your soul so much so that you believe and you fall in love with the God who loves you so much so he would not leave you to suffer eternal death, but instead came to redeem you? Take to heart and be transformed by the word of God that the angels gave to the shepherds. For the message is for you too. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Take to heart and be changed by the name the Word of God said to name that baby boy. Jesus. Yeshua. For Yeshua, Jesus, is for you. He is named Jesus, Yeshua, because he will save his people from their sins. Yeshua means God saves. All through the scriptures, the message from the living God is a child is given to save us from sin. Believe he was born to save. Believe he was born to save you, each one of you. Believe he was born to save. So I say to you, rejoice, good Christian friends. Rejoice with heart and soul and voice. Now you need not fear the grave. Jesus Christ was born to save. Jesus Christ was born to save. Amen.